Hey, good morning. Hey, give somebody a wave, look around, give them a smile, a little wave that says, hey man, I'm glad to be here. I used to like what Dr. Webster used to say. I guess I need to turn this thing on, don't I, Ernie? Okay, I hadn't even done that yet, so I didn't do a mic check or anything else. It's been a little bit of a crazy day, but there we go. Is that a little better for you? Hey, there we go. But at any rate, it's been a little bit of a crazy morning with disaster relief and everything else that's taken place there. But what I was saying is I used to love what Dr. Webster out at First Baptist used to say. He said, you know, even when I can't say a word, I just wave my hand. So sometimes you just got to look at it that way. You know, sometimes you just seem to get so overwhelmed. But at least you're at a point where you can wave your hand to the Lord and to somebody else. So you gave somebody a wave. If you're part of our online audience, we're so glad that you're joining us here today. My mother is probably sitting back in West Virginia in the driveway right now watching this on her phone because she hasn't had power since yesterday. So she's probably out there. So, hey, Mom, I appreciate you. You know, I'm sure that you and the little dog Piper are out in the car and tuning in today, and hopefully they'll have power on before lunchtime today is what they're saying. But you know how that goes. You know, don't hold your breath along the way. But at any rate, we're so glad that you have chosen to worship with us today at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful again for yet another opportunity that you have given us to gather in your house. Lord, we realize that there are a lot of burdens that have walked through the door today. Father, there are some that that really in their mind, they say they're okay, but they're not okay. They just need a touch of your hand today. They need to hear your voice today. So, Lord, I pray that as we take this time to worship you, that Father, you would just instill within us the voice of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and then, Lord, give us courage to make any adjustments that need to be made. And for these moments, Lord, help us to not consider the cares of the world, but, Father, rather consider you and your word. And, Lord, may you change our hearts. May you change our attitudes. May you change everything about us today simply because we are in your presence. So, Lord, right now, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts as only you can as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me to 547, and today we're not going to have the screens, so we'll be singing first, second, and fourth verse, 547, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
appreciate the CBC Classic Gospel Singers under the direction of Leonard Stafford. Leonard does a good job with the group. We appreciate him and his heart. And I was supposed to be there today, but it's been a little bit crazy. But I'll get the big bass going again here real soon, Leonard. Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. So I'm going to give you a little bit of time. I'm going to stall for you to find that one because Ezekiel is one of those lesser known places you usually wind up going in the Bible, particularly on a Sunday morning. If you got to look in the index, that's okay, because I know what happens. You sit out in the crowd and you start flipping through and you're like, oh, well, where's Ezekiel? You know, you're like, I missed that day in sword drills, so not exactly sure where Ezekiel is, but if you can find that. And I'm going to say hello to Tate and Ryland, my two little nephews in Georgia that are watching today. They had a little stint with power outages and damage as well. And before we get started, I'm going to pause for just a minute because Jimmy McDonald, our very own Jim McDonald, is actually out this morning. He is attempting to get feeding unit Manna 1 to Marion, but he has had some issues in Shelby. Not roads or anything like that. It's an equipment issue. So, like I say, we want to pray for Jimmy as they're working, trying to find solutions to that situation right now. We'll hope and pray that things will work out, that he can get that feeding unit up there and they can begin serving those folks up in the Marion, North Carolina area. So let's pause for just a minute and let's remember Jimmy. Father, right now we come to you realizing that you're God and we're not. There's a reason why you do the things that you do. And Father, we think about our brother right now who is out that has the heart to serve you. And Lord, he's undertaking an endeavor that right now he's the only person that can get it done. So Lord, I pray that you will straighten any crooked paths. Lord, I pray that you will get the circumstance and situation worked out that Jimmy will not only be able to serve you, Father, but he will be able to serve those that he is attempting to get that feeding unit to as well. So Father, right now, just work your will and way as only you can. Keep him safe as he's out. Watch over him as only you can. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, there's a lot of folks, as we're in the middle of this time, it is the worst disaster that's been known as far as widespread out through essentially the western part of North Carolina. And that's not just in one place, it's all over the place. And it's ironic that we're in the process of taking our North Carolina missions offering, which a lot of this goes to, all these units that are up there now. They're Baptists are setting up five different what they call DROCs. They're disaster recovery operations centers to be able to work towards helping people get their lives back in order. There's feeding units, there's laundry units, there's communication units. There are a lot of folks right now who cannot even make cell phone calls because cell phone towers are down. Comms units are working with those folks that they could go to a DROC and try to let family know that they're okay. So there's a lot of moving parts and pieces in this situation. And we've got a lot of folks in our church that are actively involved in that. Like I told you a minute ago, Jimmy is out. I'm not out because I'm here today. You know, I have to keep the priorities right and in order. But Steve Kelly is planning on deploying as a chaplain as the time arises. Kirk Gross is planning on going and doing some chainsaw work, whether with one of our crews or on his own. he's that guy. So, but anyway, there's several folks involved in the ministries of disaster relief and recovery within our church as well as across the state. So just remember that as you consider a donation to the North Carolina State Baptist Missions offering, that you can label that. We're taking that through essentially is it the end of this month, October, today. So you can do that today. Just be sure to mark an NC Missions offering, and that 100% of that will go to these endeavors that we're working on currently as we speak. As we look at the book of Ezekiel today, you know, as you travel through that, what you do is you encounter a very powerful and a vivid vision of dry bones. In just a minute, we're going to be looking at that passage. But this vision not only serves as a message of hope for the exiled Israelites, but it also holds a very timeless truth for us today. So in Ezekiel 37, we see God's power of restoration, God's power to restore. So look with me, if you would, Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again, he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Let's pray together. Father, your word is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So Lord, right now, as we come around your word, I pray that you will help us to concentrate upon the movement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us. Help us, Father, to have come today wanting to hear from you. Lord, most of all, I pray that we truly will hear from you, and that we will be able to take these moments, Father, to reflect upon what the Spirit is telling us, each and every one of us, in our own way and in our own heart and in our own life. So, Lord, as we do hear from you, Father, you've got that tailor-made word for each of us. Help us to be able to react upon what you have shown us in our own personal lives that will draw us close to you. So, Lord, bless this time that we have. And, Lord, I ask that you would bless me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be lifted up high, that you might draw all men unto you. As, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, this passage, you know, as we go through it, it begins with God leading Ezekiel to a valley full of dry bones. Now, a lot of us have heard this, and if you grew up in church at any particular point in your life, you remember there used to be a song called "The Dry Bones." You know, "Dry Bones, Dry Bones." We used to sing that, you know, as kids back in Bible school or Sunday school or what have you. But I want you to get this picture, you know, in your mind. Ezekiel has come to this valley full of dry bones, and this image paints a picture for us. It was to paint a picture, essentially, for the prophet as well. And the picture that it paints is that of desolation and that of hopelessness. You see, the bones had been dead for a long time, and they were beyond any human hope whatsoever of restoration.
You know, when you look at it and when you look at your life, sometimes we look at it and that's what we see. In the same way, the Israelites were in a state of desolation and disrepair. You see, at this particular point, they were in exile. Their land and their temple had been destroyed. They feared their identity with God as His chosen people had just completely gone away. Now, the interesting part is, I want you to think about yourself for a moment. Have you ever felt like you were in the valley of the dry bones? Now, if I were to be able to ask you this question, you know, all to yourself and in the privacy of a conversation, I guarantee you that most of you would sit back and go, oh, yeah, I've been in that particular place before. Because you see, the valley of dry bones is a valley of brokenness. Most of us have been in that certain situation in our lives where we have been broken, and I mean broken badly. You know, where we've been in that situation like the valley of dry bones where all seems like it's lost. Yeah, you know, it seems like there is just no hope at all. You know, and in your life, it could be many, many things. It could be something like a physical ailment. Some people have gotten bad news from the doctors before when they felt like, you know, all is lost. What's next? Or I don't know where to go next along the way. It could be a situation of a broken relationship where you feel like, well, you know what? I put a lot of stock in this particular person. And for whatever reason, it could be that person in your life that meant so much has passed away. But you just feel that you were just so broken down and you have this deep, deep sense of emptiness. You know, we have all experienced these moments in our lives, and we've wondered if we will ever be whole again. And all God's people said, you know what I'm talking about. So if that's you, and I'm sure it is, then pay careful attention to what it is that the Lord is telling us today in regard to restoration in the valley of the dry bones. It's ironic that I know for a fact that there are many folks who have walked through these doors today that find themselves in the valley of the dry bones. For whatever reason, for whatever is taking place in your life, there are those times when you just feel like you want to throw up your hands and just walk away, whatever it may be. Things may not be working out for you in situations. There may be family issues. There may be health issues. There may be all these different things that just seem to be piling on. And you sit back and wonder, you sit back and say, this is never going to be the same again, because there, you remember the times before the situations and before the circumstances, and I am emphasizing those words for a reason. Because for so many years we have talked about not having circumstantial faith, meaning that our faith in the Lord ebbs and flows and rises and falls with our ever-changing circumstances. Because folks, you and I know our circumstances are going to change day by day and at times moment by moment. And they're not always going to be the changes that are for the better. So think about Ezekiel for just a minute. And I like the question that God asked Ezekiel. And I want to pose that question to you today. Now let me go back to the scripture for just a minute, because I believe it's in verse 3. Go back to verse 3. Ezekiel is in this valley of dry bones, this place of despair. All the children of Israel in exile, everything seems lost. And God asks the question to him in verse 3. It says, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? God is posing that question today to you. Can these bones live? Can your situation, can your dryness in the valley, the place of desperation, the place of despair, do you feel like that it could ever, ever change? Now, it's ironic that oftentimes if you to ask somebody that in the middle of their circumstances, you know what you'll often hear? No. Things aren't going to change. They haven't changed for the past months, weeks, years, whatever it may be. It has not changed, so why should it change now? How many of y'all have, you know what I'm talking about there? You're like, this just seems like my destiny for the rest of my life. Today, God's asking you a question. I don't want you to think about Ezekiel's despair today. I want you to think about yours, because here's the question that God is posing to you today. And this is what it is. Can these bones live? God's asking that question to you today. Now, can these bones, can your circumstances, can you live regardless of your circumstances? But God is also making yet some promises along the way with this. But I think that is the most important question as you come in the presence of the Holy Spirit today. And God is asking you in your downtrodden state, in your depressed state, in your state that seems to be hopeless, He is asking you, can these bones live again? And I know a lot of us would sit back and say, well, Lord, that's the question I have for you. Because notice how verse 3 ends. Let's go back to it. It says, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. That's a great answer. You know why? Because I know that sometimes in your heart, in the midst of your despair, you don't see any hope. And yet what you do is you cry out to God, and you sit back and say, Lord, I know you can change this. I know you've prayed those prayers. Lord, I know that you can make a difference. Lord, I know that you can cure cancer. Lord, I know that you are the answer to loneliness. Lord, I know that you are the answer to every solution along the way. It's not a matter of whether or not you can. It's a matter of whether or not you will. It's a matter of how that circumstance or situation fits in to your life, into your training process, into whatever it is that God is trying to teach you. Sometimes He's trying to move you from one place to another. Sometimes He is using those circumstances and situations in our life to get us to a place. Sometimes our faith gets tested. We read about that in the Word of God too, don't we? The question is, are we passing the test? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. So just as Ezekiel was asked, can these dry bones live? I am asking you on behalf of the Savior today, can your dry bones live? By the way, God is the only one who can turn our dry bones into living, breathing, vibrant form. Nobody else can do that. So then we see in our text in verses 4 through 6, these very prophetic words, okay? So in response to God's question, Ezekiel prophesied to the bones. Now here's what's interesting. I'm curious as to whether or not we get to the point of obedience when God asks us to do something. And there is a plethora of scripture that speaks about this. Because sometimes when God asks us to do some things, they seem silly, or sometimes we would sit back in our mind and say, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. Now, I want you to get a real picture. I want you to put yourself in Ezekiel's place for just a minute. Ezekiel has been taken to this area where there's just a bunch of bones. I mean, just figure this. And God says to him, prophesy to the bones. What for? That's what we would say. Isn't that what we would say? Why? They're bones. They've been here a long time. In fact, the birds have picked them clean. There's nothing left except these old bones. Prophesy to the bones. One of the big questions is, are we really willing to do what God asked us to do? Sometimes we can't get through a circumstance or a situation because we won't be obedient to do what God asked us to do. And the reason why is we're sitting back going, that's dumb, or that's silly, or I'm not doing that. Somebody might be watching. But yet, that's not what Ezekiel did. Ezekiel was obedient. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, let's put it in the context today. That would be like God sending me to the morgue and saying, I want you to preach your best salvation sermon you've ever preached. Now, is that kind of bringing it into context? Because I'd probably be going, okay, why? These people in the morgue are already gone. There's no hope. Isn't that what we would say? What is the point of me doing what I am doing? Listen, let me tell you, you have been there or you are there right now and you are asking that same question. What is the point in me doing this? Here's the best answer. Because God said so. Remember that answer we don't like? Mom and Dad? Well, why? Because I said so. So if God asked me to go to a morgue and preach my best salvation sermon, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a morgue and I'm going to preach my best salvation sermon, and I'm going to do it in light of seeing something really cool happen. Because He's God and I am not. And my responsibility to the Father is to be obedient to what He has asked me to do, regardless of the results. But I will promise you this, God is wanting to do something through these circumstances and situations in your life. But too many times we're sitting back saying, God, I'm not going to do that because it's dumb. So in response to God's question, Ezekiel prophesied to the bones, speaking the word of God. And I want you to get that because that is a very, very important point. Speaking the word of God. He was not just to speak to the bones. He was to speak the word of God to the bones. Do you understand that? There's a completely different line when it comes to that. The bones were lifeless, but the power of God's word had the ability to bring them back to life. Let me tell you something, folks. We underestimate the word of God in today's society. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did he use as a defense? I like that. I tapped that and the light flashed. Did you get that? He used the word of God as his defense. When Satan comes at us, what are we supposed to use as our defense? The word of God. We're supposed to live our life by the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word is God. So why is it that we have so much trouble with the word? Why is it that we have so much trouble picking this up and reading it daily? Why is it that we have so much trouble wanting to be able to come together to be discipled in a church setting or a Sunday school or a small group or any other place? Why is it that everything else takes its place? This is the most important thing. Would you agree? Sure it is. See, just as Ezekiel was obedient to speak the word of God, we too must speak the word of God over our desolate situations. I'm talking about personally. Sometimes we get to the point, and this is something that's been very interesting to me, and I want to ask, I'm going to ask you in a question form, and then I'm going to give you an answer. Is it all right to pray for yourself? Now, here's the reason I ask that question, because there are a lot of people who believe that they shouldn't pray for themselves. They should be praying for other people. Let me tell you something. God specifically wants us to pray for ourselves. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you to watch over me today. I want you to watch my tongue today. Lord, I am really irritated right now, and I am about this close to going off on somebody, and I need your help to reflect who you are. Remember, how many of y'all remember the prayer of Jabez? You know, it was a big deal. They put a book out it about years ago. It's very, very interesting that the bottom line is Jabez was asking God not only to bless him, but he said to bless him indeed, which meant in a massive supernatural way. It is okay for you to pray for yourself, just like you pray for other people, particularly when you get into circumstances and situations. You know, you need to be praying for yourself over those desolate situations you're in. Sometimes you just need to go to prayer and say, Lord, look, man, I'm in a valley of some dry bones. There ain't no life here. It doesn't look like there's any hope. I'm depressed. I'm this, I'm that, I'm all these other things. And Lord, I need your help. Me, T. Today, I'm praying for me because I need your help. You see, our words have the power of life and death. Just jot this down in your Bible, Proverbs 18, 21. You can go look at that as time permits you. But our words have the power of life and death. And when we speak God's promises over our lives, we are inviting His restorative power to work in our midst. You know, we're sitting back saying, Lord, I need you to come fix this. You ever prayed prayers like that? I've said today that we live in a generation that never makes mistakes. It's always somebody else's fault. But you know what? When you sit back and own your mistake, particularly when you go back, you're the kind that can sit back and break something and go to God and say, I broke it. Can you fix this? And He will. He will restore you. He will restore your joy. He will restore your gratefulness. He will restore your praise. He will restore all the things that point to the fruits of the Spirit. He will. That's the God we serve. So are we speaking life over our dry bones? Now, I know some of y'all are saying, well, boy, that's a long way, for a short drink of water when you're talking about that. Absolutely, I am praying for my situations. I am praying that God will work in them. I'm praying that God will restore them. Well, let me ask you this. Is your situation really a situation of dry bones where there's no life and no hope without God? Or is it just that it's not going the way you want it to go? See, there's a difference between your will and God's will. And I learned that a lot on almost a daily basis. God, I think we should go this way. And 100% of the time, He's like, well, good, I'm glad that's what you think, but that's not the way to go. You need to go this way. And yet, here's the thing. 100% of the time when I go His way, it's the right way. It's the good way. It's the best way. It is what's best for me. But in the same vein, 100% of the time when I have taken the other path, it has always been the wrong way. It has always been detrimental. It has always been a setback. So you know what? How many times do you have to go through that before you realize God's way is the best way? Some of you are knuckleheads. That's a spiritual term, by the way. Probably you can find it in Deuteronomy or something. But you know what? When you sit back and you've been told don't touch the hot stove, some of you will do it. Let me tell you how I know that, and I can tell you who you are. Some of you are, but let's just make it an even better illustration. Wet paint. Wet. Y'all know where I'm going with this. See, for some odd reason, you have to question whether or not that sign is true. Why? So what do you do? Listen, those of you, some of you are sneaky. It just bothers you. But you'll wait until nobody's looking, and guess what you'll do? Well, so why do you do that? Why is it that you, is it just because there's defiance in you? Is it because you don't believe the sign? Does it really matter? The idea is that the sign was put there so you wouldn't get paint all over yourself by brushing up against the wall. But you're going to challenge the sign. Well, I don't think that paint's wet. Don't look wet to me. And we do the same thing with God. We do the same things when God puts up a wet paint sign, don't touch it. And then there's some of us that are so hard-headed that if you go back to the stove illustration, you're like, listen, don't touch that, it's hot. And then you get burned. Oh, I told you it was hot. And you touch it again. Because some of you are stubborn knuckleheads. Again, biblical terms, look in Deuteronomy. Why do we do that? See, God is trying to help us out. Are we speaking life over the dry bones situation of our life? Or are we speaking hopelessness, and defeat. You see, what happens is often when we speak that to ourselves, you know what we do? We start to speak it to others as well. Well, I tried that church thing and God just didn't work out. No, God just didn't do it your way. He was trying to do it His way and you didn't like it. So now you start to badmouth the Lord. Well, I tried that. No, I don't believe that. Or are we speaking hopelessness and defeat into our own situations? By the way, remember, what are we supposed to be speaking into it? Not our opinion. We're supposed to be speaking the Word of God into it, just like Ezekiel did when he prophesied to the bones. He used the Word of God. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. What matters is what the Word of God says. Now, we're coming up into an election coming up here in a few months. And people have said before, well, preacher, what do you think about the election? I said, well, I think we ought to have it. Well, yeah, do you tell your people who they should vote for? I said, no, I don't do that. But let me tell you what I do tell my people, and you my people. Vote this. There's your answer. Vote this. You can't go wrong by voting this. What does the Word of God say? Take those situations, take those policies, take those attitudes, take those platforms, and use the lens of God's Word by which to hold it up and to compare it, and that is how you vote. I'm not propagating a candidate, I'm propagating the Father. Because as Christians, we should have a biblical worldview, which means that we view everything in the world through the lens of God's Word. That's how we should make our decisions on everything, not just a political election, on how we do things, how we treat people. It's a culture. It is a biblical culture. Now, I'll say that in 2024, there's not a lot of people who are really creating a good biblical culture that fly under the banner of Christianity. There are some people who have said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm like, boy, where's the evidence of that? And some of y'all just said, well, preacher, you just judged that person. No, I didn't. I just inspected their fruit. You can't sit back and thank God in one breath and curse a stream as long as the Mississippi River in the next. Sometimes I think they're catchphrases or cliche. Listen, if you're going to be a believer, then act like one and walk like one and trust the Word of God to be your guide in the middle of your situations. In the valley of the dry bones, God is asking you, in your valley of dry bones, He's asking you, can these bones live again? And some of us are going, I don't know. A part of my heart was ripped away in this loss. A part of loneliness that I've never experienced before. A part of betrayal that I have never, ever in my life seen before has set you back. And God is asking you today, can these bones live again? What's your answer? And if you say, well, Lord, even if you don't answer, to me... Ezekiel kind of was political. He didn't answer the question. He didn't say, yes, they can or no, they can't. He said, well, Lord, only you know, which is actually a really good answer. But yet God told him to do something. He said, prophesy to these bones, and he did it. And I am picturing what that must have been like. Can you imagine all of a sudden it says you hear a rattling? And now all of a sudden, all these bones come back together. First of all, that would freak me out. So now all these bones that were displaced are all over the place, or some animal had carried them off. All of a sudden, here comes a femur running back and jumps together with the rest of this skeleton. And all of a sudden, the skull pops back up on it. I'd be like, wow. Even say it backwards, wow. And then it says that the skin can be put back on, and then there was bodies, but it said that the breath was not there. It says that breath was not in them. So as Ezekiel continued to prophesy That rattling sound took place. The bones came together. They formed the skeleton, but they were still lifeless. Then God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath. Remember, there was two different things. Prophesy to the breath, and the breath entered the bones, bringing them to life. The breath represents the Spirit of God, the very life force that animates us. It is the Holy Spirit for you and I. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. You see, when you trust Christ, you are given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your guide. The Holy Spirit is the one that you're taking everywhere with you, that sees and knows everything that is going on. Just as these bones needed the breath of life to come alive, we also need the breath of God's Spirit to truly live. See, we can have all the pieces put together, but without God's Spirit, we are lifeless and incomplete. Did you get that? On the outside, it may look good. All those bones came back together, all the flesh came back on them, all the things, but they were still missing something. They were still missing life. And God said, first of all, to Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. Then he said, prophesy to the breath. See, some of us have our little castles built and they look really good, but they're empty. Some of us have everything and yet nothing. Some of us have nothing and yet everything. And you know exactly what I'm talking about there. We can have all the pieces put into place, but without God's Spirit, we are lifeless and we are incomplete. That is true in your life. That is true in your family's life. That is true in your church. You know what? Churches can go through the motions. Churches can preach sermons. You can have discipleship groups. You can have all that. But if the Holy Spirit is not present, it is not a good place to be. It is dark. And it is dead, it is lifeless, like the dry bones. Sometimes people walk through the valley of the dry bones of their lives and say, don't this look great? Isn't this a wonderful farm? And yet what you're seeing is a bunch of bones laying around. And sometimes you can even see it all put together, but no life in it. Prophesy to the breath. When we allow the breath of God's Spirit to enter our lives, He brings life, making us whole and complete. We need the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our lives to truly experience the fullness of life that God has promised us. Let us be filled with the breath of God's Spirit so that we might truly be alive in Him. You see, we may have moments when we feel like dry bones. But the powerful truth remains that the same God who breathed life into those bones can breathe life into us again if we will only invite Him into our situations. Let us invite God's restorative power into our lives and let us have faith that He can bring life to even the driest of bones. You know, I've talked to some folks before who've said, they kind of said it like this. They were like, and I'm like, tell me about your spiritual life. And they're like, I got nothing. My spiritual life is in the toilet. I haven't sought God. When I have sought God, I didn't like the answers. They're in the valley of the dry bones, and they desperately want to live again. Well, you can. You can. This is so important. The older I get, the more I understand that this is everything. And yet what happens is, it has all the answers. You know, you go to somebody and they're like, Well, I'm mad at so-and-so. I don't like what they're doing. I said, well, this says you got to forgive them. I ain't doing that. Nope. This gives you the answers. And here's the thing. What I love about it, particularly being around and with church people, you know the answers. You'll come ask me, well, what should I do in this situation? I'm like, well, you know what the Bible says. Bible says you should grant forgiveness. Well, I ain't doing that. And I'm like, well, why are you asking me? What are you asking me for? You already know the answer to the question. Are you thinking that I'm going to come in here and say, oh, well, don't you just worry about God's word this time. You have a right to be angry. That ain't going to happen. But we try to find people who want to propagate where we are. We want to try to find people that say the dry bone valley of our life is okay, and it's not. And I don't care how many wreaths and decorations you hang on the dry bones, they don't look like they're supposed to. Ask God into the dry bone valley of your life and your situation and watch what he will do. He'll do some pretty incredible things. So I'm going to take this moment to find a way off this platform. And I'm going to ask Brad and the musicians if they would to take their place, because this is a time of invitation. This is a time to take action on what it is that the Holy Spirit has placed in your life. What has he told you today? Now, you know what? I'm truly not the most gracious orator in the world. Probably not the best preacher in the world, but the bottom line is God's word does not return void. And the Spirit was here today. And the Spirit, if you were listening, spoke to you today. And the Spirit told you something today. What did the Spirit tell you, and how will you deal with it? Is the Spirit calling you to salvation? Is the Spirit knocking on your door saying, hey, you haven't let me be a part of your life in salvation. You haven't opened the door and let me come in. Is today the day that you will say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me and save my soul. If that's you today, simply bow your head right where you are and say, Lord, today I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Thank you for the resurrection that conquered death and provides salvation. Come into my life, save my soul, and help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you did that and you meant it, you started that. You opened the door and Jesus came in. Now what does a good Southerner do when you open the door and let somebody come in? Can I get you a cup of coffee? Can I get you a drink? Snack? Got a little pound cake over here. And then what you do is you take that time to get to know one another. And you're going to find out that there's a lot of really cool things about the Lord. You'll want to hang out with him. See, that begins the process. Remember, I preached a few weeks ago on the fact that the Bible says not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Now, I'm not saying salvation is by works, but what I'm saying is that salvation in your heart will truly make a change in your life. You will desire, because of the Holy Spirit, to do the will of the Father. See, I love coming together with God's people. Y'all are my folk, yeah. Y'all are my kind of people. It's not hard to live a Christian life when you're with Christian people, is it? It's a lot harder when you're in the world. A lot harder. Boy, we should love this time of being able to come together. We should. Have you accepted Christ today? Today's a great day. Heaven's rejoicing. Maybe you're here today and you just got a swift kick in the pants. Maybe you've been decorating the valley of the dry bones instead of seeing the dry bones become life again. And God's simply saying, do you want these bones to live again? I have the power of restoration in your life, no matter what it is, no matter what the hardness of the circumstances, no matter what the situations are, the Lord says, if you will give it to me, I will show up and these bones will live again. Some of y'all have been chasing that for a long time, and today's the day to see that change. Give it to God. Whatever that circumstance may be, whatever that situation is, I will be up front here. Listen, if you've trusted Christ, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. Man, that's the fun part. That's why we're here. You're part of the family now. Maybe you just need some time at this old altar. I still believe in an altar call. What's the point in telling somebody about Jesus if you don't give them an opportunity to accept him? I don't want you to just check a box. I want you to profess it. But the altar's here. I'm here. What is it that you need to do to make right with God before you exit this building? Now is the appointed time. As we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn. Brad, what's our invitation hymn?
It is Living for Jesus, 282.
Hands are bowed as your eyes are closed. As you close this time of invitation, can you do so with a clear heart? Can you do so knowing that as you walk out these doors, that all is well? It is well, it is well with your soul between you and the Father. I pray that you can. At this time, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Our Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for the provision that you give each and every one of us. And Lord, the way that you've provided in ways that we don't even know about. Lord, may we always be truly grateful for all that we have, because all good things come from you. So Lord, as we continue to worship you by giving back the tithe and the offering that you have blessed us with, may we be found faithful in doing so. May you truly bless the gift as well as the giver. We pray it in Jesus' name. Just give you a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here. This week coming up as far as birthdays, Tuesday is Grace Willard's birthday, so we want to be sure to wish her a happy birthday. Thursday, we have two of them, Brantley Myrick and Hannah Johnson will be celebrating birthdays this coming Thursday. And then on Friday, Ann Brooks and my son, Blake Carter, who's somewhere around here. He's probably escorting offering over there. But at any rate, those are the birthdays we have this week. Let's see. Don't think we have any anniversary showing this week. Just a couple things that we got going for today and throughout the week to keep you mindful of. I do have my D group on, 3:30 today. You there? Okay, if the Lord's willing. Okay, just checking. Then choir practice is back at its...
Today is 5, just because the service tonight will be shorter than 5.
Yep. Today's choir practice is at 5 o'clock, so if you're part of the choir, 5 o'clock today. Awana at its regular time, which is 5:30 this evening. And then, of course, we'll be having a fifth Sunday singing right in this room right here, so come on back for that. Then on Monday, Steve Kelly has his D group. You're good for tomorrow at 6:30. Then As always, Wednesday, we've got the men's breakfast over at the Olympic at 10 a.m. So, again, no agenda there, just a time to be able to get together and have some food and fellowship. Ladies Connection monthly meeting is going to be on October the 2nd at 6 p.m. In the next door building, room 116, as well as, excuse me, the ladies' monthly breakfast will be on the 9th of October at Cagney's on Friendly Avenue at 9 o'clock a.m. Be sure that if you're going to be at the baby shower, which is Aaron Sykes' baby shower, that's coming up on the 5th of October. This is the last day to sign up. Sign-up sheet is in the narthex there, so they can make plans on how many to have. That's going to be at, I have 5 o'clock p.m. Is that right now? Okay, good. I messed that all up last time. So I'm at 5 o'clock p.m., which would be Saturday, this coming Saturday. So be sure to sign up if you're going to be coming so they'll know how many to plan for. Next Sunday, we have the D-Life Boot Camp. We will have a combined service next week. We will have the author of D-Life material, Bill Wilkes, and his wife, Rondi, will be with us. So we're going to have a combined service with Awaken that evening. Will be the D-Life boot camp. It will start at 4. There will be a meal involved with that. You can sign up at the door, but if you plan on coming, please let us know. There's a sign-up sheet back there, so we've got to know how many to plan for as far as the meal. This has actually been publicized throughout the Piedmont Association with all the pastors and their churches for this particular event. So we're actually kind of hosting it for the Piedmont Association. Then just as a reminder, this September is actually North Carolina Missions Offering Month, right in the midst of the disaster. But anyway, people are asking, how can we help? This is a way you can help, because training, materials, equipment, everything that you give that is used, part of that it goes to the disaster recovery. Everything you give through that will go to them. There are different factors, but at any rate, disaster recovery and response will get a lot of those funds to be able to use for exactly what we're talking about right now. There's going to be on the 26th of October a combined women's luncheon from 2 to 4 over in the gym. Is that okay? Good deal. And then, of course, the women's retreat is the 10th of October through the 13th at Ocean Isle. Marcia is the one to see on that. Are you still 4 slots? So grab you some friends and go. I promise you will not regret it. And then just as a reminder, our 2025 Cuba mission trip is set for February the 28th through March the 7th. If you are going, you need to let me know, and we need to make sure your passport is up to date and ready to roll. It has to be with at least within 6 months of when you travel or when you would be coming back. So I think we got 4 that have already said, hey, look, I'm looking to go. We will need to have our money and our paperwork in by November. So probably right before Thanksgiving, you'll be hearing me say, I got to have all this stuff. You know, you'll have to go to certain places and register for things. But please let me know if you are interested in doing that, and then we will go through the process with you. Is there anything I have forgotten? I feel like there is. Oh, thank you. Operation Christmas Child, we are starting into that. The shoe boxes, we've got shoe boxes for you out in the narthex that you can pick up. You can pick up as many of them as you would like. I believe Ken put the paperwork inside. Did you put paperwork inside ours, Ken? Okay, the little tag. Yeah, there's some on the table out there, but Ken graciously built boxes for you. I want to encourage you. I know you like to use those other boxes. I want to encourage you to use these, and I'll tell you why. We're also a regional drop-off, and they're easier to pack in the bigger boxes that we have to ship forward. So you know what? If you say, "Well, I've got too much stuff," well, just pack another box. Yeah, you know, pack 4, 5, 6, 12. Take all of them. We'll get more boxes. It's not a problem. We will actually be doing our end gathering here at the church when. 10th and the 18th, where you will have an opportunity, somewhere like that. We'll let you know. 10th and the 18th, you can bring them here. We usually put them at the altar, have a time of prayer for them. 10th and 17th, okay, yeah. So those will be the 2 dates that we will bring them as Central Baptist Church. We place them on the altar. We have a prayer for them and the families that the kids, the families that will receive those. Then we're also a regional drop-off. So if you're interested in helping with that, you can see Jana about that. And we will make sure that we get the boxes repacked, shipped to the next place, and be ready to go. So anything I've forgotten before I pray for us? Gosh, I made it. It's only 11:58. Y'all going to get out a little early. Maybe I need to string it out. David, come pray for us, brother.
Old-fashioned Sunday night, fifth Sunday night singing. If you say, I love the old hymns, well, come. We're going to sing some of them tonight, and we're going to have some solos and special music. We'd love to have you come. Just going to be a great time of worshiping the Lord. That 10 and 17 is November, not October, okay? You got a month, a little over a month, 6 weeks. Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you so much for you and for what you mean to us, and we thank you for your love for us and your provision for us. God, we're so grateful that you're such an awesome God. And Lord, help us to take this message today and realize from it, Lord, that if you can take a handful of dust and make a man, you can put anything back in our life that needs to be there. You can restore our life and our relationship to you. God, help us to trust you with everything in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.